It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Dineen, Bob's President and CEO, Renewable Fuels Association. Great to see you.
Good to be with you. Welcome to Washington, D.C.
You know, I can't believe that I walked by the building about a half dozen times before I realized, hey, this is where RFA is. Pretty good view of the Capitol and fireworks that happen up there all the time.
Well, yeah, we're pretty close to the balcony, and I can look out there and see what they're doing all the time, but really it's just to be able to see what the traffic is doing. It keeps me in the office longer.
Let's talk about what's happening in Congress right now. The focus has really been on Farm Bill at this point, but talking to some on the Senate side, they're still concerned when it comes to the Renewable Fuel Standard, the RFS. What are you hearing?
Well, there's not a lot that's happening in Congress these days on any issue, frankly, but on this issue in particular, while there are a number of members that have talked about trying to come up with some kind of an RFS reform, they're having trouble getting there. I think it's not the easiest thing in the world. I happen to think that this is a program, the Renewable Fuel Standard, that doesn't need to be reformed. It's working quite well, thank you very much. It has done everything that it was intended to do. The fact that a couple of refiners would like to relitigate the legislation from 2007 and undo all the progress has been made, notwithstanding, the fact of the matter is there's strong public support for it. The president supports it. There's bipartisan support on the Hill for it. So the lone voices that are out there from the great state of Texas that might want to change it, I think they are finding that that's probably not going to happen.
We've talked with Senator Cornyn a few times here recently. Obviously, the biggest hurdle might be Senator Cruz. Just wondering whether or not anything had been negotiated, and we hear it's close, but nothing comes from it.
Well, despite the fact that you've got two Republican senators from the same state that both are strong advocates for the oil industry in that state, they're coming at this from dramatically different perspectives. I give Senator Cornyn, frankly, a great deal of credit for trying to bring stakeholders together, trying to figure out what, if anything, can be done. It's been an extensive process, but he's been very open. He's had us into his office to talk about some things, and he's trying to get something done that will not harm the ethanol industry, but could give refiners more flexibility. And I respect that. I understand it. We haven't come to a place yet where we're willing to support the legislative approach that he's had. But, you know, he's trying. He's trying really hard. Senator Cruz has eschewed the congressional process and really has just been working on the White House to try to get some administrative relief for just a couple of refiners. And frankly, I've been confused why Senator Cruz from Texas has spent so much time in Philadelphia at a refinery there and advocating for relief for that refinery, which frankly is not the poster child of the most efficient refineries in the country. Those you might find in Beaumont or Houston or some other places in Texas. Philadelphia, it's the oldest, least efficient refinery in the country. And he spent a lot of time there holding it up as an example of why we need to have RFS reform. Well, frankly, the problems with that antiquated refinery have got nothing to do with the Renewable Fuel Standard. And as a consequence, I think Senator Cruz's efforts at the White House have not borne fruit. He's had any number of different proposals, all of which would significantly undermine the potential for growth in the ethanol industry, not really help all of the refining industry. He sort of picks winners and losers. There are a couple of refineries, independent merchant refineries, that he seems to think have been disproportionately harmed in this program, and he wants to help them at the expense of other refineries who have made investments for this program to work effectively and actually see the Renewable Fuel Standard as a profit center, not a compliance burden. But the two senators from Texas have had dramatically different approaches. To date, none of them are going anywhere. But Senator Cruz in particular, I think, has been frustrated by the lack of progress that he's been able to make. But it's because he's really not coming to the table with proposals that are sincere in their effort to get the win-win that the president has been looking for.
So we've been talking about the legislative side of this. I think you referred in there a little bit to the executive side, which falls now under Environmental Protection Agency and the administrator, Scott Pruitt, who in the past hasn't been a big fan of the RFS.
Well, he's not. He is from Oklahoma. He hopes to go back to Oklahoma one day to run for office there. He may be seeing more headwinds today than he might have seen a few months ago. And he's under a lot of pressure these days. But it doesn't matter that Scott Pruitt supports the oil and gas industry more than the ethanol industry in Oklahoma. He works for the President of the United States. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, absolutely supports ethanol, absolutely supports a renewable fuel standard that allows growth opportunities for this industry and for farmers. And, you know, Scott Pruitt has done a real disservice to the president in ignoring the statute, ignoring consumers' interest in having fuel choice at the pump, ignoring efforts to grow the industry, and rewarding refiners for their bad behavior. Refiners that haven't invested in the infrastructure to make the program work for them more efficiently, and giving waivers to the program at an unprecedented level. Over the past decade, there have been maybe one or two waivers provided to refineries that made a case that there's an economic hardship. Scott Pruitt has given 33. Scott Pruitt has essentially destructed 1.6 billion gallons of demand from this program. What he's done is essentially had farmers who are struggling today, who had invested in this program, subsidizing some of the most profitable companies in the country. How does that make sense? But, you know, so the president doesn't support that. So Scott Pruitt has really undermined the program, but undermined the president of the United States as well. And I think he may pay a price for that.
Let's look on the export side and trade. We're moving ethanol to other countries as well, right?
We are. Last year, the ethanol industry exported 1.3 billion gallons of ethanol to more than 60 countries across the globe. The reason for that is that ethanol is the highest octane at the lowest cost of any octane on the market. And refineries across the globe are realizing that ethanol is a great source of octane. And in a world that is short octane and looking for petroleum sources, ethanol provides a really good market solution. So we are seeing growth there. Not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, that's one area where, again, Senator Cruz and Scott Pruitt have been teaming up to undermine the growth in that market. Now, Senator Cruz will say, oh, no, we're trying to enhance export opportunities for ethanol. What they want to do is to allow ethanol that's exported today to count toward the domestic fuel requirement. Well, that hurts both our domestic market by artificially increasing the number of credits that can be used for compliance, thus devaluing those and undermining any effort to encourage investments in the infrastructure to grow the market. So it hurts our U.S. domestic market. But it also hurts our export market because our trading partners will see that, understandably so, as an export enhancement, as a subsidy the ethanol industry neither needs nor has asked for. And they will retaliate. And in the retaliation, will do harm, not benefit, to our export markets. So the export market is incredibly important to us. And that is one of the reasons why the Pruitt-Cruz effort to allow exported gallons to count to the domestic fuel requirement is such a non-starter, and why the president last week said, no, we're not going to do this. This is bad for farmers. And if it's bad for farmers, I'm not going to support it. Thank you, Mr. President.
We've talked challenges up to this point. How about things that really make you smile, things that, man, you're excited about when you look at where the ethanol industry is today?
Well, look, despite all the challenges, the industry is continuing to grow. I smile when I see new technologies being adopted that make this industry more efficient. I smile when I see the industry invest so much to create new market opportunities for higher ethanol blends. You see E15, for example, being used more and more across the country as the industry has promoted that fuel and encouraged marketers to offer that fuel to consumers. This week, I smiled a great deal because in our education efforts, we had partnered with American Choppers and Paul Tuttle Jr. in the creation of a new ethanol-powered, E85-powered motorcycle, a chopper. It's a beautiful piece of art, but more than that, it is a reflection that, contrary to what the American Motorcycle Association might say, ethanol and motorcycles do mix. You can use these our fuels in these vehicles very effectively in high-performance choppers. And to see the excitement that has been generated with the American Chopper Show being debuted last Monday and our bike being debuted this week in Omaha, it's really been kind of fun. It's been a fun week.
It's always good to see you. Thanks for the work you do. And if we want to find out more about what's going on with the Renewable Fuels Association, is it easy to do online?
It is indeed, www.ethanolrfa.org. But I want to thank you as well for all you do to keep farmers and the agriculture community informed of what's happening, not just on our issue, but on other value-added agricultural issues. Thank you.
Thanks. It's Bob Dineen, President, CEO, Renewable Fuels Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.